Hugs, go ahead. Go.
Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast. We are here with a special guest. It's right. It's the Inquisition of listener Anthony. We are going to hear his thoughts on The Old Man and the Gun, and then we're going to talk about Dakota Johnson's tour de force,
Madam Webb.
Yeah, she is
her magnum anus. Yeah,
yeah,
her magnum opus for her monster dong.
You know what's what makes a great Spider-Man movie? No Spider-Manning,
because Spider-Man.
That's clearly what their plan was.
Don't even get me started. Oh my god,
I can't wait to talk about.
You know what I love about Spider-Man movies? The car combat. That's the thing that always makes me think Spider-Man.
Twisted metal Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So we are going to we have a special guest as Gog said. It's Anthony. So now our listenership for this week's episode is down to 3.
Zero.
But Anthony was pretty unhappy with our Old Man and the Gun.
Hold on.
Can I finish? I'm a host.
He
have to
raise his hand.
I have to intro this. You'll have your turn. Don't worry.
Damn, TJ pulled the host card early.
Yes. Anthony was very unhappy with our review, or collectively, all of our reviews. And so I wanted to give him a chance for a rebuttal. We've never had this on the show. I thought it was a fascinating idea. So, and this is to everybody else, all the other hosts on the show. We have to give Anthony the floor. Let him air his fucking grievances, and then we will open it up to discussion. But I'm going to give him the floor and allow him to express his opinion of the film. Hold on, though. I think Sean is raising his hand, I think. I don't know. Sean, are you raising your hand?
Yeah, that was me. I just want to know if Anthony can go.
Oh. It's a shame we don't put the video part of this on YouTube or something, because the you can't see it at home, but there's this button that says raise hand now, and we're obsessed with it, and it's very funny to me. I don't know, but it's not listening at home. It's not funny at all. But it's very funny.
Why don't you? Well, I thought you did put the video on YouTube. Why don't you put the video up?
Because Gogs uses his real name and he doesn't want it on the thing, and I'm too lazy to edit it out.
Those are two reasons.
Yeah. Drew's not his real name.
Anyway, Anthony, you have the floor. Please illuminate us as to what The Old Man and the Gun actually was about, because I will say that your take, I told the guys, I mean, I gave them a brief rundown of what you told me at first.
Yeah.
I can't relate to that take at all. But go ahead, please. And we will not interrupt. You have the floor.
No, I don't need to interrupt. First of all, I just want to be
not interrupt.
Go ahead, Bosie.
Look, if I'm going to interrupt Alec, you know how it is. Christ,
no, I'm just going to mute myself.
I'm also going to mute myself.
Interrupting is our.
Sean raised his hand.
Yeah, it's true. Sean, go ahead.
I'm probably going to interrupt.
You can interrupt.
As long as you raise your hand.
As long as you raise your hand.
All right, go ahead. He raised his hands again.
I just wanted to confirm that I'll raise my hand to interrupt.
Yeah, you have to use your hand to interrupt. That's the deal.
Oh, that's a good bit. That's fun. Yeah. I'm excited to
use this bit because I've never been on a show before, but a long-time listener, first-time caller. Thank you for having me. I didn't hate any of your guys' opinions. In fact, I understood them. And I'm going to say two things about this movie in particular. One.
Two things. That's not interruption. That's just we have.
No, by all means. I'm a mark for old Robert Redford going out on this flick. I have a special attachment to this guy. My dad, I think he's the first guy that I recognize as a movie star. You know, not just an actor, but a movie star. My dad loved The Natural. He used to make us watch it. And I have an affinity for Robert Redford. So seeing him, you know, in all the cuteness of this flick and.
Oh, come on. No.
He got bricked up.
He got his damn fucking connection got bricked up. Go ahead, Sean.
Yes, Sean.
I think Anthony dropped off.
Literally. God damn it, dude.
That'd be a power move.
He was just starting.
He can get back.
What the hell? Anthony, if you can hear me, just call from your phone. That's probably a better connection.
All right. I literally only use my phone for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
So what you guys watch?
We're not going to do that this week. Hold on. He'll come back. Hey, try to connect with your phone.
Yeah, hold on. Let me just turn off the video.
Okay. That might help.
So, I don't know what you guys heard, but, you know, what I was saying.
Your dad, your fondness, your dad.
Your fondness of Robert Redford.
You know, and me and TJ were speaking or texting Analog right before the show, and I think.
Oh, my God. Seriously.
Star, right?
Mm.
Oh, hold on. Keep going. I think we lost you again.
Again?
Soon. Yeah. You try calling from your phone. It might be better from your phone.
I can see you. Everything's fine.
Keep talking.
Yeah, the video's off. Anyway, I'll say this about the flick. I'm here for it. I'm here for the cuteness of Robert Redford leaving the film industry with this film. I'm here for all of the Norman Rockwell-esque cinematography, especially at the beginning. The Americana is all there. It's beautiful, right? He goes off riding off into the sunset on a horse, right? You with me here? Can you guys hear me? My elf?
Yeah, we can hear.
No, I don't think any of us disagreed with that.
Hey, yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think this is the things we agree with. I think, well, you guys, you know, I get it. You felt like it was, I think the thing that I love about this movie, and I've been watching two movies over and over and over again when I just want to put on a flick. It's been this movie and Chef. And I think they both share a similar theme. And that's just men in their middle age, not knowing what to do with their life and trying to figure out a way to move forward. And I feel like the Casey Affleck character in The Old Man and the Gun, you know, really exemplifies this. And I love it. You know, I love his interactions with his kids, the way his kids kind of tell him things. And he's
Sean raised his hand. Sorry. Yeah, you can't see that. Yeah.
Maybe this is a taste thing and maybe it's just where everybody's in their lives. Because I think we all love movies with old men that are falling apart and then actually fall apart and die. Like, I think that's more of our meta.
I think the thing is I love those movies too. I agree with you. I think I'm at a point in my life where it's like, I just want, and I was, you know, funny, I was researching, you know, a little bit of stuff. I was like, am I the only one who sees this? I've talked to TJ all week. And I read some reviews that were similar to my take. And I'm just like, I was reading the review with, oh man, why am I blanking on the director?
David Lowery
was like, I just want to make a movie where at the end of it, every audience member is smiling. And I understand that it didn't succeed for you four gentlemen, but for me, like I love it. And the other thing about this movie and what brought me to the movie is I'm just a Tom Waits mark. Like no wrong. And
his Tom Waits is, he's good in the movie.
Little monologue in that flick, like it cracks me up every single time. Like, free sailor. Like, I love it. And then in his interaction with Danny Glover, lovely and sweet. Like, him and Danny Glover, I don't know if you guys notice this detail, they're both wearing the same style of glasses.
I did not notice
that. Yeah, they're both wearing the falling down glasses. But, I think that says a lot. You know, there's a lot of little details. Like, you know, when they're showing him in the 57 Chevy, you know, running away from the cops, right? Like, it's painted matte black on the outside, but the inside, it's still foam green, right? Like, he's doing this terrible act of robbing a bank on the outside, but inside, like, he's just this little kid. And I just kind of love it.
Okay. So that's it? You're done? I can interrupt now.
Please.
I would like to examine one of the things that you brought up. You said that started talking. Go ahead.
You didn't raise your hand. I just wanted to point that out.
You can't even follow the rules.
Oh, shit. Gogs, go ahead. Gogs. Go ahead.
Oh, Sean's right.
This is gonna be the most annoying episode. Sean, go ahead.
Thank you, Gogs.
All right. Yes, go ahead.
Anytime.
Go ahead, Anthony.
TJ, go ahead.
Something that you brought up, and it's correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm speaking out of turn, please correct me. But in your purview, Anthony, the main character of the film is Casey Affleck, right? That's correct.
I think he's the guy who goes through. You can argue who's the main character. Forrest is definitely the main character, but I think, you know, in the. It's told through Emily Blunt, but like she's not really the focus until it flips halfway through. So
you dropped out just slightly.
I said in the same way that in Sicario, they follow Emily Blunt through the first half of the movie. You know, I think Forrest is. I would consider Forrest the main character, but I could also see. I think John has the arc. You know what I mean?
Hold on, Alec, you raised your hand.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm sorry I ever discovered the raised hand button.
It is pretty funny though. Gogs, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't mean to hit the button.
Oh, God damn it! All right, Anthony,
I lowered my hand.
Now, God, Sean. Yes.
Oh, Gogs' hand button was still up, so I was just trying to tell him that he'd take it off.
Anthony, so you just talked about the arc. Now, I think that a major problem that all of us had with this film is and you said that a central theme of this film is about a man, and in this case, it's Casey Affleck, and he's kind of realizing his purpose in his life, and that's his arc throughout the film, right? Robert Redford understands his purpose, and that's why he does what he does, because he knows who he is, and that's his life. But to me, watching... What the fuck now? The video again. It's going to cut out. To me, Casey Affleck, he doesn't have growth. I feel like, in fact, to Sean brought it up in his review, if I remember correctly, and I agreed with him, I feel like Casey Affleck's character is almost inconsequential to the film. Like, Sean, you can chime in. I saw your raise.
Oh, I just saw that Anthony went Jamie Madrox. There's two of them now, but now my whole thing was, and I think he touched on it, and maybe this is another place where it splits, is like the movie just trades so much on like people loving Robert Redford. Like, yes, he's cool. I love Butch and Sundance. You know what I mean? I like Tom Waits. I like Down by Law. You know what I mean? It's almost like I would rather just look at a painting of Robert Redford for like 10 minutes than just watch a 2-hour portrait of him. You know what I'm saying? If that makes any sense.
Yeah. But would you agree, like, going back to the Casey Affleck thing, do you see how he could be construed as the main character of the film? Because I really don't.
Because I don't see a lot of conflict. I guess there's, like, a very small amount, like, but there's no, like, and it would be tropey, but there's no real stress with his family. Like, there's nothing like, oh, he's just falling apart chasing this guy or whatever. I just don't see it. And, like, I found it, like, an interesting choice to make them have, like, a multiracial marriage in that era and not address it. Like, it just, you know, it seemed like that would be an easy point of conflict, too, and maybe it's just kind of a subversive thing or he just didn't think about it. But with everything else being so visually intentional, that seems like it would be, and maybe there's another version of this where there is more, like, strife with his family or something happens. But, again, like, I don't feel like his whole – I don't want to call it an arc, but his whole – run in the movie is not super necessary to the story that they're telling.
Yeah. Awesome again. Yeah. Anthony's connection is doo-doo. I don't know what's going on. Okay. Anthony, you're back. You had raised your hand, but then we lost you. You got to get some better internet out there. And now you're muted. You got to unmute your mic. This is why we don't have guests.
I wonder if there's a version of this movie where John David Washington has anything to do.
He was in the movie so little I didn't even realize he was in the movie.
Do you think there's a longer cut of this movie? Do you think that's what the issue is?
Possibly. I don't know though. You're still there. You go. You're not muted now. Go ahead, Anthony. You should be able to hear you now.
Most of that, even though I dropped out. So I will say this: this is why I love this movie. everything is very subtle. They do address his wife's race. There's a subtle scene where after he's in the bank, where they basically, you know, they already robbed the bank while he's in it. One cop looks at his wife when she comes to pick up the kids at the other cop and, like, is giving a disapproving look. So I think they do address it. And I think that's what this movie does great. I do think that it's very subtle in the way they talk about things. And all of the points that are moving forward are basically dialogue driven. So if you could, if you watch it on mute, I'd agree with you. But if you listen to the dialogue, it's almost like the dialogue is telling a different story and the visuals are telling, you know, the classic bank robber story. So I do feel like, you know, all those things are addressed. I can understand why you guys don't like it or disagree with it. But, you know, Casey Affleck, at the end of the flick, his last scene, he's planting flowers in the garden, right? Like, to me, this is almost like too much on the nose. You know what I mean?
I mean, it wasn't on the nose enough for, I guess. Sure. I don't.
I love this flick. I will put it on. You know, I've probably seen it 20 times since it's come out, which is more than, you know, if you actually do 20, it's a lot.
What turned you onto it initially? Like, what made
I wanted to see Tom Waits in a bank robber movie.
You were watching all the David Lowery movies, if I remember.
No, correctly. This one started me. This is the first David Lowery movie I've seen. The only one I haven't seen is Ghost Story.
Which is the best one, which is crazy.
And it's fucking brutal.
Yeah, it's such a good movie.
That's why I haven't watched it. I know it's brutal. And I think, you know, again, it's, I think Willem Dafoe came out with a quote talking about, what's the last movie he did? Poor Things. And he's like,
I love that movie.
Yeah, exactly. But he's basically like, people won't watch this type of movie on streaming because when they come home from a long day, they don't want something that's like, you know, difficult. And like, that's why I haven't seen a Ghost Story. And that's why I love this movie, because it's not difficult. It's very lighthearted and fun, even though I think below the surface, you know, the subtext is actually some heavy shit. But like, on top of it, it's just a fun movie about Robert Redford being charming. Sean.
Subtext is for cowards.
Yeah, I mean, that's
like you said. I think. I like super text.
Super text. Yeah. Hey, you join the Navy.
As we found out lately, though, super text doesn't work because people are like, no, Starship Troopers is like, it is about fascism and it's good. It's like,
what? Dune 2 is about how awesome the CIA is.
Yeah. People are fucking stupid. Like, goddamn. I don't know, man. Like, I just didn't connect with this movie at all. And it's wild to me. Like, I get what you're saying about how, I mean, I love, you know, I like understated films. Sometimes I feel like you might be reaching for things that aren't there.
I will say this, and I think Sean nailed it on the head, right? We're all going through different, you know, things in our life. And I do feel like, you know, you can't watch a movie without bringing your own life into it. That's what we call the movies, right?
Of course, no man is an island.
Absolutely. And what's resonating with the movie to me, like, clearly didn't resonate with the four of you. And that's fine. That's a valid opinion. But, you know, part of the reason I wanted to come on the show, outside of just being a huge fan of, and, you know, I just wanted to talk to you guys since we missed TJ's birthday get together. But, you know, I think the thing is like, you know, there are listeners out there and, you know, I usually follow your opinion. If you guys hate something, I usually won't watch it, but I will say this, you know, to the other fellow listeners,
listener, basically it's Brent.
Matt. Brent.
Yeah, I'm doing this for Brent. I thought it was clear. I love you, Brent. Yeah, I think it's worth a watch. And, you know, it's not this, I'm not discrediting what you guys said about it. I just feel like there's a different thing that's going on with this movie. I do feel like this movie is kind of a master of subtlety. And, you know, it is something that I love about it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I mean, you've stated your point pretty well, I guess. I obviously, you haven't swayed me. I wouldn't watch this movie again on a bet, but
yeah, I mean, anybody, it's one of those things where I wouldn't be like, oh, that's wrong. This is wrong. There's you think that. It's just like, it just did not connect with me in that way at all. Like, well, just I think we all, myself.
I think we all acknowledge that it's well acted. It's well,
yeah, oh yeah.
It's well made. It's well written. But it's just it didn't.
Yeah. Maybe
it didn't captivate us.
Maybe part of it too was having to also watch All Is Lost, which is not the same movie, obviously. But like,
I liked that one.
No, I liked it years ago when it came out, and when you guys started reviewing it, I remember TJ being like, "Watching All Is Lost," and I was like, "Oh no, I'm sorry." And he's like, "Really?" And I was like, "Talk to me after the movie." And I said to him when you guys watched Get Carter, which also, oof.
Oh god, yeah,
yeah, that was bad.
Get Carter, but it's interesting, right? Because to me, in a lot of ways, like All Is Lost is very similar to that to Old Man and the Gun, because it's like another movie where Robert Redford's just kind of charming and good at things, and that's kind of the whole movie. Like,
I think the difference is that you don't have that, you know, the reason, again, in Old Man and the Gun, I feel like the reason that he's so good at everything is it's basically, you know, if Casey Affleck is saying, okay, what's my purpose in life, right? He's chasing after Robert Redford's character, right? So he's chasing after, you know, Robert Redford basically reached Zen, right? He reached enlightenment. He's happy with what he's doing. You know, this is what he does. This is his purpose in life. It doesn't matter. He lies to Jewel. He lies to the people. He doesn't care about his kid. Like, this is what he does. So without that, who cares? Like, if he's just good at being a jerk, like, what's the point?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I suppose. Does anybody else have anything they want to bring up before we move on to Madam Webb?
In your read of the movie, Anthony, does he know about his daughter? The
I'm glad you brought this up. He yelled at me about this.
This is not ambiguous in the movie. Casey Affleck gets a photo of him with his daughter as a baby and the daughter's mom. She didn't know at the time, and then she did some digging, and then she sent him the photo. Like, yeah, he lies to Jewel when she's like, do you have any kids? And this is kind of, again, the subtlety of this movie that I actually like upon, you know, multiple rewatchings is he's not a perfect character, even though the movie portrays him as kind, which I love, but, like, he's not perfect. He's actually kind of a scumbag, obviously, besides robbing banks. Like, he's not a good person, and I think that's the thing that I like about it.
Now, hold on. Now, this is where I'm going to have to challenge you on. Uh-huh. Where in the movie paints him as, like, the greatest person ever. Everybody loves him. His estranged daughter is like, he's not that bad. It's like, he's never, I think that was a lot of our complaints, right? There's no edge to his character. Like, I mean, you have to.
What I'm saying is, it's all there for the audience member to ascertain. You're right. They do paint him. And to be fair, I think they paint every character in the movie, which is why I love it. They kind of give them all, you know, they let the light shine on them, right? They're all painted in a positive light. You guys are right when you're like, there's no conflict. It what I understand from that is, yeah, there's conflict, but it's inner conflict in Casey Affleck's character. You're right. There are no bad characters. They do paint everybody, even the bad characters, as good guys. And that's kind of what I love about it.
So is it really like a criticism of the depth of his character versus the surface level? Like, it's like,
I will say,
on the surface, everybody loves him, but deep down, he really is kind of a piece of shit. No matter, and he can't change his stripes.
No,
is it like it's not that. Okay, well, I'm dumb.
I mean, maybe.
No, I don't think it is. I mean, like,
in your read of the movie, is Forrest aware that he's a piece of shit?
No, I don't think Forrest is a piece of shit. Let me clarify what I'm saying.
Has negative qualities, maybe.
Has negative qualities, and I think that's what I love about it, right? When you go through life, how many times have we fucked up? How many times have we messed up, but we want to do better? And ultimately, Forrest finds what he's really, what he loves to do, and it makes him happy, and it actually makes everybody around him happy, right? The people that are getting robbed are like, what, they do that montage, and they're like, he's kind of a gentleman. He's kind of a gentleman, right? And I think that's the thing, right? Like, but at the same time, they're not sugarcoating what Forrest is doing. They're giving it to you, but they are making you say, you know, you have to figure this out, right? Like, we're going to make it a happy, cute, you know, wink and nudge in the shoulder type of a flick, but Forrest, one, he's robbing banks, so he's a bad guy, right? That's what I love about it. You know, the whole analogy is you know, tongue in cheek, right? He's a good guy robbing banks. You guys talked about the trope of
gentleman thief.
And again, this is where we differ. I love that trope.
I hate it.
That's fine. I mean, you guys can hate it. I'm not saying you shouldn't hate it, but I'm just saying, like, that's why it works for me.
Yeah.
I think that trope is like of such an era. Like, I think somebody mentioned the Thomas Crown Affair, at least the original one. And that movie's cool as shit. And I love all the editing. And like, it was of its time. I don't know. It just doesn't work for me now. And, you know, maybe that's not the movie's fault, but
I feel like this movie is romanticizing another period of crime flicks. I think, Sean, you said it. You're like, oh, it's referencing 70s flicks, but it's cast in the 80s. And I think that's just, unfortunately, David Lowery had to deal with it was a true story, but like, yeah, you're right, it is. Like, the things that you don't like about it are the same reasons I like it. I think we're seeing the same thing. So
yeah,
it's broke.
Okay, anything else, because we do have a lot to cover with
Mountain we get to Mountain Web, are we going to do the things we watch? Because I came prepared.
No, we're skipping it because we did the rebuttal. You're the one that complains about the episodes being too damn long. So no.
When I'm on it.
No, we're not doing what we watched.
Anthony never gets to do what we watch. So
Let him do it.
I can yell.
How many things did you watch, Anthony? If it's like eight, like, fuck you. All right, two things.
I've never been on the show before, so 785.
Yeah, this guy's every movie.
43 years. Let me go through my letterbox.
Can I do them? And I'll keep it to 2 minutes.
That's okay. No, just go. It's like, two things.
Like it's like Special Olympics when they let you shoot the three pointer at the All Star game.
Like that.
Do you mean Make a Wish?
I think he's referring to Toronto Raptors swingman Scotty Barnes, the first autistic All Star.
Is that that video you say I showed that guy?
Yeah.
NBA, but I just was trying my hardest to throw in an NBA reference for Sean.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
All right, I watched two things. First of all,
Predator. Two things. Feel good, huh? Feels good.
I watched Predator 2. That movie fucking rips.
Hell yeah.
I will say that about Predator 2. This is the best way to watch Predator 2. You got a bolognese cooking on the stove upstairs. You're in Goggs' basement. He's getting you high as fuck. And you watch Predator 2 and you realize it might be the best 80s action film ever.
Okay.
I'm on team vaguely Italian over there. Like, I really like Predator 2, especially been ripping blinkers all day.
Predator 2 is the sweatiest of the 80s movies. And I watched Predator 1, and that one's pretty sweaty. But Predator 2, those dudes are sweating. They went through their shirt. They went through their jacket. Have you ever sweated? I've never seen sweat through a sports coat before.
Once at a wedding.
You've never been around me at a wedding in July.
I feel like at Teet's wedding, I was sweating through my sport coat because it was like,
no, you were sweating through your shirt like we all were. To get those pit stains on a sports coat is a lot of sweat. And that's why I love Predator 2.
Yeah, Predator 2. I wholeheartedly endorse anyone coming to my basement to watch Predator 2 and get silly, because I do enjoy it.
Better fuck him.
What was that, Alec?
Sorry, I made a swig of my look. Uh-oh. I'm an aide. I think better be a fucking bolognese cooking if I'm coming to watch Predator 2 at your house.
Hell dude, yeah. I'll rip up a bolognese.
Thank you.
Listen,
the Dixie flatline. What is going on over there?
I will say this. Oggs, let me know. Boski, let me know. Me and guys will prepare you a bolognese. You come over, and we'll all have nice sauce and watch Predator 2 together.
Sean and I aren't invited, apparently, but it's cool.
It's not pie zones. Well, you know.
Not pie zones.
The pea zone? Like the pizza?
It's not a zone. I'm the most Italian person I know.
And I know at least four people.
Every time I see Alec, he does scream at me, "Hey, I'm walking here." I said, all right, what was the other thing you watched, Anthony?
I rewatched Killing Them Softly. Have you guys seen this flick?
like that movie a lot.
Yeah, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
my Brad Pitt one.
Yeah, yeah. Brad Pitt with Tony.
It's the same guy. It's the same guy that made the movie with the impossible title, the assassination of Jesse James by the coward
Robert Ford.
I also like that movie a lot too. Have you seen that movie, Anthony?
I got to rewatch that. I saw it when I was a kid, but like I fell asleep. I don't think I gave it a fair.
That movie came out in like 2015.
Keep feeding Casey Affleck women the beat so he can keep acting. Because man, that guy's good. Oh, I didn't fucking do it. What are you about?
I know. God. Anyway, go ahead.
Inside Me was a documentary.
That was a good movie too.
Yeah, he beat that woman's ass.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, first of all, the assassination of Jesse James came out in 2007, not 2015.
That's close enough. You weren't a kid when it came out.
I was 26. I was young.
That is by no definition a child, but go ahead.
He has the mind of a child.
Currently has the mind of a child.
Yes, clearly. So
you didn't like Killing Them Softly? No. I understand.
Okay, here's the thing. I watched it. I remember seeing it in the theater. And I think the problem with it that I have is it's, you know, they do that whole metaphor of like, oh, crime is like the bailout money that they gave the banks. And it's constantly force-fed. It's the same problem I have with Natural Born Killers. You know what I mean? It's like
I get it. I did.
I flat out don't like that movie.
It did not age well.
But like, I think I think Pitt's great in it. I think Richard Jenkins is great in it. Yeah, Richard Jenkins is great in everything.
Mm.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, especially the Chris Klein movie.
I don't think I ever saw Killing Them Softly, but every time I see the poster, it makes me think of Out of the Furnace. And I was like, I loved Out of the Furnace.
Now that movie.
Out of the Furnace is way better than Killing Them Softly.
Yeah, agreed.
Way
really good.
Yeah.
We reviewed that on the show, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
I might watch Killing Them Softly out of respect for Anthony and his opinion that he doesn't care for it.
I think Killing Them Softly, after the rewatch, I'm like, oh, the same problems I had with it are still there. But if they took those parts out, I think that there's a great scene at the end with Pitt and Richard Jenkins when they talk about, like, America.
Yeah.
They could have just let that in without, like, the overdubs. There's a lot of overdubs of like George Bush and Obama, like talking about the bailouts, like throughout the movie, where it's just like anytime there's not a person talking or getting killed, like there's an overdub, and it's just like, for me,
it's a little like heavy-handed. I agree.
What is the fucking Akira movie with Scarlett Johansson where it's like these animals have sex and then it cuts like a nature documentary?
What is
it's
that?
A fucking Luc Besson movie. Lucy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that movie sucks. Yeah, that movie is rough.
Wasn't she in Akira? Or what was she in?
No, Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell.
That movie slaps.
Which is not.
Yeah, I'll die on that hill.
So I think the movie looks terrible, but the Crow reboot that's coming out, it's by the same director as the Ghost in the Shell movie.
Hmm.
And I was like, okay, I'll give it a chance now. Cause that Ghost in the Shell movie is underrated. I don't care what anybody says. It's not bad.
No, it's totally watchable.
It's a very remade though.
It is a very decent, like cyberpunk action movie. Like I think it's pretty well done.
Does it follow the
Yeah, I mean loosely. I mean it doesn't. It's the same basic premise as
Michael Wincott, so that automatically makes it okay.
Let's get on to Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Alec. We didn't watch Spider-Man. There was Spider-Man in this whole fucking.
Well, there was a bad guy Spider-Man.
There were several. There was a guy in a universe without Spider-Man that for some reason was wearing a Spider-Man costume.
Yep, there was a spidered man, and then
there was a group that lived in like the South American jungle that were literally called the spiders in Spanish. I know enough Spanish to know that.
Which is also like, the girl's name, and also they were dressed up like fucking J-Lo in The Cell in Vincent D'Onofrio's dreams with all that shit off.
Also, that motherfucker, like the head guy. Like 30 years ago, he's wearing like the fucking the Cell costume, but then like in the present day, he's just wearing like business casual outfit.
Yeah,
like, for some reason, he looks like Surge from System of a Down.
Why did they cast him and the villain to look almost identical?
I thought they were the same person for a minute.
The villain was ADR'd the whole movie. Right?
Yes.
TJ and I were trying to figure it out if it was a filter or, yeah.
All right. Gogs.
Good luck,
buddy.
All right, here we go.
Good fucking luck.
Hey, do you like origin stories? How about four of them? Maybe five.
Origin story.
And an origin story that's building towards another origin story.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they didn't even get their fucking powers by the end of the movie.
God, this
Ben Parker, crazy. Meet baby Peter Parker and Madam Web.
Yeah, all right, so here we go.
Go ahead, Gogs. Good luck, buddy.
So a woman named Webb studies spiders. And
Cassandra Webb. Or no.
Yeah. No. Yeah, no, Cassandra Webb Sr.
Yeah. So anywho, she's down in, let's just call it Brazil.
And the movie opens in Peru. It's arachnophobia. The first 20 minutes of this movie is arachnophobia.
Okay, I was
also Morbius.
Gogs has ever seen arachnophobia.
This movie,
really?
I love that movie. That was my pick for John Goodmarch. Go ahead.
Right off the jump, this movie looks so bad. Like the way this movie is shot looks so bad.
The Aranya arms are like maybe the worst special effect I've seen in 10 years.
I literally said out loud, no one could have approved of this. Like during some of the shots, like
there's so many like weird like kind of half push ins is the best way you can describe it. Sometimes that's all I got, bud.
It looks like an asylum film. This movie is so badly put together.
It looks terrible.
It looks like Elektra. Like it looks like
let's just get through it, then we can drag it. Okay, so
I thought you were going to say we could jerk it off.
So, hell yeah.
So anyway.
Jerking it. That's the after dark, Anthony. That's we all just start jerking off.
So anyway, this broad is down in Peru, I suppose. Not going to two hands it. And she's down there looking for super spiders, which is taking away all the mystery of the Spider-Man. And then she finds the super spiders, and then her security guard assistant goes ham on everyone and then kills everyone and shoots this broad in the chest and takes her super spider. And then he absconds back to the town. So then the spider people of legend and the treetops hustle down and give birth to her in a tree pool, I guess.
The mother gives birth to her, but yeah.
Fine. So they jam her full of spider venom, and then they give birth to a baby. And then
also, in case it gets glazed over, the reason she wants the spider venom is to cure her daughter's muscular dystrophy?
No, her baby's going to die in utero because of some disease you find out later. Yes, TJ.
She drank it's Dune. The baby gets the water of life.
She got the water of life from the spider. Right. So now
literally Dune.
I guess
Anthony raised his hand now.
For fuck's sake, yes, Anthony.
What a surprise. TJ says something, a movie is exactly like Dune.
It is like Dune. It's literally it's the same fucking thing. Like they give them the poison.
Anyway, these undiscovered people.
They are certainly discovered.
The podcast trope.
Well,
is Dune.
Whatever. I'm going to call them undiscovered people because they haven't discovered zippers. And
Christopher Columbus.
They decided to FedEx this orphan back to New York. I guess.
Explained.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
She ends up being fostered by who knows, and then now she has attachment issues, and she saves lives and doesn't want to get cute drawings about it. So then her innate spider, I guess she's got
pause. Go ahead. I'm not the hero here. The person did all the work is Ben Parker over here. Actual line in the movie.
You know what's wild is to watch her acting next to Adam Scott, and Adam Scott is trying, and it's like, what is happening?
Oh, yeah. Dakota Johnson did not want to be there. I have never seen less enthusiastic line delivery in my life. Like, there's a call at the end of the movie where, like, the villain's like, you're just like your mother, and she's like, I am.
Performance flat and wooden is an insult towards because she is fucking terrible in this movie. Anyway, so she's saving lives reluctantly, and then she has innate super spider sense, which lets her gives her the sight beyond sight or whatever. She's the Lisan Agaib, and she can see the future. She gets none of the other fun spider powers, but she can see the future. And then you get ADR Steve, and he's like, oh, snap, I keep having dreams.
His name is Ezekiel.
I don't give a rat's ass. And he is
the worst actor I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Right, him, he's out, like, what's her name? He's like Michael Wincott in The Crow, sleeping next to the lady, and he's like, Bai Ling, and he's like, I'm plagued by dreams every night of these three broads killing me. And then he's like, oh, let me just explain what they look like to this hacker lady who has managed to infiltrate all cameras everywhere and then figure out who these three people are. And then I'm going to put together, I cobbled together Spider-Man uniform, and then I'm going to go annihilate these ladies.
Meanwhile, his hacker buddy, from the description in his dreams, had a photorealistic picture of all three of them in their Spider-Man costumes.
How?
And then they're like,
and then she de-aged them.
But they're there. Well, these are teenagers. It's like, is that where we're drawing the line? Like, this is a problem now.
He gives a description of three masked women from his dream, and then the CIA manages to walk it back to these three unrelated teenagers. So now Dakota Johnson is making peace with the fact that she can see the future, and she starts defending these ladies from this Spider-Man. She defends
R.I.P. them on Mike Epps.
She defends them on a subway train. And then she hits somebody with a truck.
Can we talk about the many people with trucks? The unnatural amount of time that Dakota Johnson is carrying the skateboard. Like, yeah, she will not put it down. It's like 15 minutes.
And then I was like, I was kind of out of my mind when I was watching this. So then they end up in a campsite, and she's like, don't go anywhere. I'm going to Peru.
And she's like, stay in the woods. Stay in the woods jerky. For a few hours.
Yes, I'll Anthony, come back. Stop. Anthony's raised his hand.
Can we talk about the campfire? Did you guys notice?
Oh, what? Did I notice? Yes.
When they're in the woods, so I don't know. It's what, springtime? Something like early summer? They're wearing mid-dress. No one's really wearing a jacket. It's obviously warm, right?
Yeah.
They light a fire.
Yeah, light a fire sometimes at summer camp, sure.
Okay, well, here's the thing about the fire. When they leave the diner, and the camera kind of lingers on the fire. Like, they leave, and they don't put the fire out.
They're just kids looking to party, and so they go to a local diner where a men's volleyball team is hanging out, and they start... Maybe they burnt down the forest, but that gives the firefighters something to do.
Since you brought up the table dancing, can we talk about Dakota Johnson coming in like, you're so irresponsible. I can't believe you. It's like, bitch, I've known you for 10 minutes and you left me in the woods. Like,
you left me in the woods. You left me in the woods to go to Peru.
How did you glean this information about us?
She went to her apartment, to be fair. Oh. She went to her apartment.
At some point, she leaves them somewhere and goes to Peru.
And she's there in like 10 minutes. Yeah, that's a little later.
And then she meets them at the part where she goes. So then she goes to Peru. And she has a picture that her mom took, maybe, that somehow, I guess, got stapled to her when they FedExed her back to the States as a baby. And she finds that tree 18 years later, no growth, no change. And she's like, oh, and then not
well, the bad guy. Well, she finds a buried replicant baby underneath of it.
Oh, not shit. The bad guy bamfs in and goes, I told your mother I'd wait for you here. And I'm like,
that's the head Spider-Man now he's not in his like tribal gear. He's literally in like
clothes.
Yeah, he's in like business casual clothes for some reason. Like, I don't know why.
Yeah, it's fucking Pepe Parker or whatever his name is. And now he's hanging out. Yikes. Hey, what do you want me to do? It's Peru. And now
Pepe Parker.
So they go.
Also Parker. They're real careful. They never drop the Peter Parker in this movie. They come real close. They come very close.
Oh, meanwhile, you find out that Adam Scott's. Yes.
Do you want to guess his name?
Who? What is his name?
Do you want to guess his name?
No. What is
talking it? About the Peruvian guy?
Steve. No, they do that terrible fucking scene.
The
baby shower. Yeah.
That shit is so bad. Every time they do like her future vision, it's like the most awful
thing. Oh yeah, like, right. Yeah. She goes to a baby shower when Mike guess he gets annihilated by a truck. I forgot about that.
There is way too much uncle play in this movie for me. Like why yeah. like when has an uncle ever been so goddamn involved? And it's not even like his sister, right? It's his brother's wife's kid.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So like, now, come on, dude.
So anyway, yeah.
Also,
so
they don't say May at all. Do they? They imply her, but they don't. Do they actually name May?
He's in a relationship with someone, but didn't bring.
Did
out,
they not say that?
I don't know. They own the rights. They said no. Right. They say so, he's seeing someone.
So why are we being all fucking cute about it?
Because Marissa Tomei, they couldn't make her fee.
All their weird contractual stuff with the MCU. They might have certain things they can't use. I mean, that's why they're making all these shitty movies.
Yeah, you're probably
like right. They might that might have been part of their agreement for the MCU that they can't say Peter or May, but you can say yeah. Ben. I don't know because Ben's never been in the MCU movies at all. He's just been alluded to. He's never even been mentioned, I don't think. But like, I was trying to explain to Stacy last night as we watched this monumentous pile. Oh,
you put your wife through this? God damn, what yeah. a woman. I can't believe you do that to that sweet woman.
I know. I'm awful. But I was trying to explain some of the, and she kept asking questions. I'm trying to explain some of the stuff to her, and finally I was like, honestly, I don't know. Like, it makes no sense.
Right, yeah.
Like, the movie makes no sense. Why they even attempted to make it makes no sense.
It would be so funny if they made the multiverse Spider-Man movie just so Sony couldn't use any of those characters. Like, fuck it. So put them all in here. Good luck with Kraven and whatever the fuck.
It's just funny because, like, I think...
Well, no,
think
wait a minute, because they use Dr. Octopus and Aunt May and fucking Spider-Verse.
Green Goblin.
And that's a Sony. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's lots true. Of them in that. Anyway.
So anyway. She goes to Peru. She finds out about her more about her mom. Then it means nothing, and then she comes back to the town. And then when do we get to the fireworks factory? Well,
I fucking died.
Spoiler alert: you don't get to the fireworks factory.
She lands back.
Literally
lands at exactly the right time. That what's her name goes into labor.
Literally,
they're on the way to take her to the hospital as she lands and steals an ambo to go try to save them.
Yeah, so Mary Parker goes into labor, and all the girls are there. She parked them with Ben Parker, and he's like, I'm not even the dad. And then they go end up in a fireworks factory, and she clairvoyants her way through a barrage of explosions. Oh. She hits a guy with a truck again, and then...
So that's her gig. Like
that's her MO. That's her superpower.
I got a question for Alec. I don't have time to hit the hand thing. Alec.
Yes.
Ezekiel has roughly the same powers, if not more so, than regular Spider-Man, as you understand it.
Not more so, because his... I was reading all about him last night, because I remember him from the stories. He got the powers from like some animal totem thing, but then he squandered them for years and wasted them using his powers to help him amass a fortune instead of helping people.
My
follow-up question to this as the resident Spider-Man scholar, would a fucking neon letter landing on him kill him?
Probably not.
Okay.
Anthony, go ahead.
He's like, from what I understand and what I read, like at his peak, he would have been like equal to Spider-Man, but he probably never would have beat him because he didn't have the same like moral compass and drive right. and blah, blah, all the Uncle Ben stuff. But like Ezekiel from the comics is much different than this Ezekiel. The Ezekiel, the comics didn't get bitten by a spider. He like yeah, sought out like, some
magic.
He gets bit by a Peruvian man.
A Peruvian spider. He got bit by a radioactive Spider Man.
He got bit by a radioactive pig.
I mean, whom amongst us? You know what I mean?
Anthony.
The thing that I didn't understand is Ezekiel.
Oh, there's just one thing. There's just one thing you didn't understand.
There's plenty. There's plenty. But like, he can see the future, And it's like, oh, these girls killed me, but he can't see the future where Madame Web kills him. Like,
right, right, because she's a future bender.
Is she immune to shit? Like, she have some kind of like? Is she a blind spot psychic, in the future?
Psychic armor.
She's like, she's like what Ozymandias did to Dr. Manhattan. She has like a tachyon field around her or something.
Also, plot armor.
It's just this plot
lots of armor.
Now, get to the part where she becomes Oracle or whatever, and the chicken, so we can get.
She catches some Chinese sky candy to the face, and then they all wake up in the hospital, and now she's talking stupid, and the girls are there too. But Ezekiel's dead, and now she's the Madam Web, and that's it.
I like the movie. They butcher the great responsibility line like five different times, five different ways, just to not actually say the line the way it's written.
When you take responsibility, then you will get great power. It's like, what?
The funniest part is
great power. No.
The funniest part of this movie was TJ texting me. We're talking about Venom, and he autocorrected to Venmo, and that made me really laugh.
We are Venmo.
Dude, this movie is incompetent.
So, here's
why?
The thing I can't understand. That's the biggest question I have, right? Why? And the thing is, like, they, like, in theory, right, if you give me... Like, let's just say you take out Madame Web, right? And you give me a movie about three young spider women trying to figure out their powers. That's kind of interesting. I would like to watch that.
The 30-second clips of them with their powers are the most entertaining part of this entire
movie. Because that Julia Carpenter Spider-Woman outfit is the fucking best. Like, I think we could all...
And to the movie's credit, like, it looks pretty good in the movie. Like, for the 2 seconds you see it, like, they did a good job.
But, like, I was telling TJ, and I don't know if anybody else had the same problem, it's like, just start it, like, in media res. Like, just have them already in the suits. Like, I don't give a fuck about their, like, weird origin. Like, oh, my dad got deported. Like,
it's not even, like, a full origin.
We're all easily adoptable, is basically what it is.
My mom was a spider.
But they don't even get their powers by the end of the movie. It's so fucking confusing. Like, by the end of the movie, they're still just three teenage girls, and Madame Web's like, oh, well, in the future, I see you guys fighting for justice. It's like,
I mean, not for nothing. Cool. Wouldn't she have disturbed the threads of time so much that it would throw them off of that course?
What is this leading to? Is there some kind of, like... connective tissue to the Venom and all the other fucking movies, or is this just on an aisle? Is like, TJ, I think, or maybe Gogs, but definitely TJ, we're talking about fucking like, when's the last time a franchise has really taken off? Like, they've been throwing Sony, DC, even Marvel lately. It's like, none of this shit is working. Like, just stop, just make a movie. You know what I mean? Well, yeah. Like, I don't,
and the whole idea of making like this universe without Spider-Man is just so flawed, and everyone sees it. Like, and I think Sony fucked up because they're like, well, Venom did well, and it's like, yeah, but Venom, or Venmo as I like to call him, is an established character of his own, right? Like, Venom is the character people like now, and I know he is a foil to Spider-Man, but like, people know Venom outside of Spider-Man. He's a very recognizable character, whereas, like, you know, it's like, hey, who's your favorite Spider-Man villain? Kraven the Hunter. Can't wait to watch that movie. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
There's never been that I know of, like, a Morbius solo run. Or like a Kraven.
It didn't last very long. Yeah. There was a Morbius comic. Remember the 90s? There was.
Even the good Kraven shit, like, they can't do Kraven's Last Hunt, like, because they can't use Spider-Man. So, like, what is the point?
Also, if they ever did that, I mean, that'd be badass, because he kills himself at the end of that run.
No, they would fuck it all up, the problem. Like, I think Alec has talked about it, and I have to use 2099 if you can, or do Spider-Man Rain. Yeah. Do something like Rain. I fucking love that story. I don't care what anybody says. Like,
I love Spider-Man Rain. Spider-Man Rain's great, but again, it's way too dark for them to do. I mean, it's like,
who gives a shit? It's going to make more than $50.
yeah, it'll make more than this.
This made money. Technically,
yeah, but they'll water it down. They'll water it down, and they won't talk about the spider jizz.
Oh, so in case you couldn't tell,
89 on an 80 million.
It lost. That's a humongous bomb.
Yeah,
like it has to make at least like 2.5 times its budget. The people that wrote this movie also wrote Morbius, which you could tell because it's just Morbius for girls. And they also wrote Gods of Egypt. And I think The Last Witch Hunter is like the best movie they wrote. Yeah. So, boy, like,
yeah. Huh. Me and Sean were talking about this. Like, it's wild how, I mean, how many bad movies have we watched on the show? And then we go, well, what else did they make? And they always, it's always like shit, shit, shit. And it's just crazy that these guys, they just fail up. And Sean said it was like the NFL. And I think he's right. Like, these guys probably make friends with producers, they make friends with directors, and like, oh, you know, this guy's a good guy, like, let's just put this, because they don't at the end of the day, they don't give a shit. Like, I'm not trying to be like, I know all movies are out to make money and all, but like, there's no art in these fucking movies, right? Like,
why do they just think that, but like, looking, if they go back and look at all their spreadsheets and shit, like, where did they think this was going to make money? They already missed the kind of like,
oh, you there? Sean?
Did he get bricked up?
He got bricked up.
I think they're just already. The Wonder Woman, and then, like, you saw the diminishing returns of Captain Marvel. Like,
yeah, repeat what you said. You said they missed the momentum of, and then we lost you.
Yeah, they missed that kind of, like, that moment of zeitgeist with, like, the girl boss stuff with Wonder Woman and with Captain Marvel. That's kind of declined, and I'm not saying that, because it's women, but, like, that kind of cynical, like, cash grab for, like, women-led movies is over. So, like, what is the target demo for this? Like, people that like Spider-Man aren't going to like it. People that like movies as, you know, entertainment will like it. Like, I was watching a YouTube video, and they're talking about how young people don't really watch movies in the same way anymore. It's like, oh, it's the TikTok or whatever. Like cinema as an art is going to die at some point, right? Or it's going to be very different than what it is now. And, like, this shit ain't helping. Like, it's just like, where was the money coming from?
This was
halfway through this movie.
This was trying to fill the Batgirl-sized hole in our hearts.
Like, there's no way that Batgirl movie's worse than this, right? Like,
there's no way.
There's no way.
Is worse than 100 movies that came out in the past year and a half. There's zero chance.
The only way I see this movie making money is if halfway through it just turns into like Zhen Xiaoping's birthday party. Like, it's just all like glorifying the People's Republic of China or something. Because like, I have no idea other.
Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I raised my hand, and Sean made a good point. And while I was watching this movie, I was like, who is it for? You know, we were talking about The Old Man and the Gun, and I was like, okay, we had it for a penny. Like, who can I recommend this to? I don't think I can recommend this movie to anybody. Well, they're not going to watch it if I recommend it, if they don't like it. But, like, it's not good. It's not for... who is it for?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a movie for no one. And it's also just devoid of any, like, it's one thing to be, like, just bad, but every aspect of this movie is bad. The script is bad, the direction's bad, the acting is bad, like, everything is bad. At one point, like, this movie is so incompetently made. At one point, when they walk from the camp, they walk from the woods to the diner, there's just a song that starts playing on their walk for, like, no reason. And it's like...
It's establishing the time period.
Is that what it's doing?
It's Toxic by Britney Spears.
Toxic starts later when they go back to that scene. They play another song in between the walk to the diner.
Well, they also play like, Toxic the later. Bangles or something so that you know she's supposed to be older because everybody's at the same age in this movie, despite what their characters should be.
Right, yeah.
Apparently, the original script was supposed to be darker and more Terminator inspired. That would have seen
Madam Web. That would be something.
Hang on. Madam Web and the Spider Women trying to protect a pregnant Mary Parker from a time traveling Ezekiel who wants to kill her to prevent the birth of Peter Parker, which would have made
a better movie.
So much more.
That sounds awesome.
That's way better.
Dope. I think, you know, Anthony was saying, you know, we're all kind of talking about it with the audience. Like, this isn't like 1994, so there's no toys. There's no video game. There's no streaming series to support. And certainly not to support a comic book. So, like, I don't get it. I don't get the thrust of the movie at all.
Yeah.
No one does. That's why it's failing.
And now I'm mad because that premise Alex just said is way better. Because then you could actually have like an action movie. Like you have like the, I assume in that script, the three spider girls had powers and that would have been cool. Like you could actually had like that's a good idea. Actually, I dare to say that's not a bad idea. It's derivative, yeah. But it's something.
Hell, like, I mean, Terminator rocks. It's yeah. like the Predator movies. Just keep making Terminator in different settings. Like, who gives
up
a shit?
Up to Gogs, Terminator 2 is a terrible movie, so.
Terminator rules.
But it's just like Predator. Keep making the Predator movies like Prey, just in different settings with the same basic plot. Like, who gives a shit? It's awesome, and it's going to rock. This, make a Spider-Woman. I mean, I guess the point of Madam Web still wouldn't have made fucking sense, but...
Well, just take your $90 million, cut it in thirds, and make three wildly different movies if you want. You know what I mean? You own the property. Just fucking do something. But it's the same fucking movie over and over.
Can someone tell me what Madam Web's purpose is in the greater MCU? Like, in comics, not necessarily in the cinematic. So not the MCU, the Marvel Universe.
She's barely in the comics, dude. She's, like, barely in the comics.
She was a staple in the 90s for a while, and then she kind of went away. I don't even know if she's... I mean, I think she was in the Spider-Verse stuff little bit.
But what does she do?
But there she's was, like... So, like she
does the future, Gogs.
God, Spider... I mean, remember, comics are stupid.
Yeah.
But she was like the caretaker of like the web of life or some shit.
Yeah,
Alex, and she would protect like the web of reality or life or whatever they would call it. And like, when she couldn't handle shit, she would call Spider-Man to come help her.
See,
and
wouldn't it be more interesting if she's like sitting in like that future web and just seeing the different strands of like all this multiverse playing out? Yeah, and kind of like trying to fix it as it goes or something. I know it's like sounds like Quantum Leap, but like something.
I mean, that's something. It's something. Again, anything is better than what we got. And so like,
I had like this weird. It might have been actual like a fever dream, but I was like, is she like the source of? She's not the source of all the spider sense intuition, is she? Like, psychically, like, she's not the reason that Spider-Man and other spider people get Spidey sense, because that's effectively a very short-term ability to predict the future.
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
Okay. If they did that, at least it would give her some purpose. There's no purpose to her at all in this movie.
Well, exactly. They made Birds of Prey is what it turned into at the end. Like, she's going to be the Oracle, and the three of them are going to be the Birds of Prey. Like, that's the fucking setup.
Also, that's all it is. Much better than this.
Oh yeah, 1,000,000%. Like I don't love it, actually, but it's like I love a that movie.
Actually,
do you love it?
I didn't love it, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. Yeah.
Talk about the Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah, I like.
Yeah, that's like the second best DC movie of the
Nolan era. It's one of those movies I watched, and I was like, "Why do people hate this so much?" I thought it was a lot of fun.
It's like that, it's not Shazam and Suicide Squad.
It's not perfect.
Suicide Squad.
Or Black Adam.
Anything else?
Dakota ahead, Johnson's Doug. Parents are Melanie Griffith and Don Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah, how did you not know that?
I had no idea. I just thought she had a name.
She's the ultimate Nepo baby.
Mm-hmm. She is.
She's the Kate Hudson.
She's also, it's funny because she also gets really upset. Like, remember a couple years ago when that, like, Nepo baby, like, it was like going around about Nepo. She's like one of the most outspoken people about it, and it's hilarious because she's benefited from it the most.
Yeah. Speaking of, she sucks.
She's good in some stuff. She's good in that Suspiria remake. She just did not give a fuck in this goddamn movie.
This will be my last thing because we don't need to belabor all these ones this long. But like the fact that they're all like 28 really doesn't do the movie very well. I know Adam Scott's like 50, but like I feel like this character works better if she's way older. Older, but it's just
I agree. Well, it's like you said, in a text, Sean. It's like you said that I know no woman in Hollywood now can visibly be over 35, and you're totally right because like this movie works if she looks either she's much older or the three spider girls are actually teenagers.
Wow. Yeah, and that's another thing, God. In the comics, Madam Web is like ancient. She's like 150 years old.
Oh,
she's not a young lady.
And like, I know that Sydney Sweeney plays a high schooler in Euphoria, but like, she's obviously like in her late 20s, early 30s. Like,
well, that's why they put her in like a schoolgirl outfit with glasses on and shit to make her look super young.
Yeah. And I'm not familiar with the other two actresses. I kind of felt bad for them because like they were trying. Like, it's like they're not given anything.
Well, it's like their big break, you know?
I mean, I don't know. They were fine. Again, like, you could tell they were trying, but there was nothing there. I mean, you know what I mean?
Wait, can we? For some reason, this came to me, and I just want to bring it up to see if anyone else caught on to it. There's a scene where Ezekiel learns of Cassandra Webb, and he's like, did you say Webb? As if that is not, like, one of probably the most common last names in the entire United States. And he immediately was like, that's not possible. Like,
wasn't the director of the last
Mark Webb? Yeah, the guy who made 500 Days of Summer.
yeah.
Like
this lady directed a movie called Toast, and I think that's it.
She has no other movie credits. She's TV. That's it.
Yeah, she doesn't even start somewhere. Well, or in this case, start and end. Hopefully.
S.J. Clarkson, go get bent. Like, don't do anything else. You're terrible.
Fuck you, bitch.
Also, this movie had like 5 credited screenwriters.
Worth every one of them.
He probably goes back to what Alex said, because there's probably like
it takes
other script.
TJ, it takes 5 people to carry a coffin. Like, it's
that was a good one. I don't think I'm gonna talk. All right. Anything else we're going to talk about before we get into scores?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Special guest Anthony, go ahead.
I give it a 2 for being under 2 hours, but really, it's
for a 5 for 2 hours.
I like that.
It is barely
under 2 hours. This movie, look,
I got to be honest with you. Anything that's under 2 hours in this day and age, you get elevated 2 points for
it. I don't disagree with that. Yeah.
It's like I said, it's not for me, and I can't recommend it to anybody, so I don't really understand.
It's not for anybody.
Yeah, it's one of those movies just like, you know,
it's a tax shelter.
It's for Sony executives to sell to like an airline or something. I don't know. There's got to be some kind of weird like scam here somewhere.
This is a thing we didn't talk about, but like, why did those 3 women, like, what's their purpose? Poor Justice, they're just like, oh, they're going to kill me. It's like, did you ever
think
to yourself, why are these 3 women going to kill me? Like, what's going on?
Stop doing nefarious shit.
Hey, why?
Yeah, stop hiring the 4th lead from Girls to be your guy in the chair.
Oh, she's shit, that is who that was. Good job, Alec.
Yeah. I filled my time.
All right. You got to pass the mic. You know the rules. You listen to the show.
Posky.
It's going to get a 3.
Three tits.
One for Aranya's costume. One for Maddie Franklin's Spider-Woman costume, and one for, I don't know why the fuck they named her Julia Cornwall in the fucking
movie. Why did they change her name? Thank you. Like, I forgot about that.
But one for the Julia Carpenter costume, because when they were in those costumes, they looked dope as shit. Those costumes fucking rock, except for those
spider
arms. But when they were just in the costumes fighting him, and that little scene at the end where they were in, like, this costume looked awesome. Like, the costume design was tremendous. And, like, that Julia Carpenter Spider-Woman costume was, like, the one that I remember from just being a kid before Jessica Drew came around and had the red and yellow one. But that's it. Like, this movie sucks. Like, in the comics, Ezekiel is basically a good guy. Like, why would you I just don't understand.
They ran out of dudes.
Not really. There's so many dudes.
Yeah, there's so many. Like, and
you want to change this movie slightly and make it infinitely better? Have Vincent D'Onofrio be the kingpin, and he's doing the same exact thing as Ezekiel without all the flippy Spider-Man shit. He can get hit by a truck and take it.
Or he's just sending like assassins after them or something.
Yeah,
like ninjas,
Bullseye and shit.
Not even Bullseye. Use some of the stupider ones, like the Rose. Who remembers the Rose?
Oh, I love the Rose. He had the white suit and the guns. He's cool. No, looking.
Get Nightwatch.
Nightwatch, hell yeah! They're making a Nightwatch movie.
Fucking yes. Cardiac.
Oh my god! Like, fucking Cardiac, god, bro.
Night Thrasher.
Dope man. Yes, Anthony.
Okay. PJ, what's your favorite 90s movie featuring all-girl band?
Is it Josie and the Pussycats?
Yes.
That's okay. Late early 2000s.
But... Pussycat vibes from this movie?
No, because I like that movie.
Okay, but like, are we not going to mention the obvious, like, hey, Pepsi paid for this movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're talking about product placement, oh my god, yeah. It's bad. Did, yeah, like, that Josie and the Pussycats Pepsi movie TV? Is full of product placement.
It was also Pepsi, wasn't it?
It was Pepsi. And like, Samus guitars. And yeah.
They sell Pepsi, and I'm like, who doesn't drink Pepsi at this point?
I was reading the thing about the product placement with the Pepsi. Apparently, this was released by Coke Sony. Was like,
fuck you.
But it was released by Sony under, was it under Paramount, maybe?
Probably.
I can't remember what studio. Well, I can't remember the studios. But apparently, whatever studio was that released it, not Sony, but whatever they're the parent of that actually released it or filmed it or whatever. Apparently, at one point, Coke owned the studio.
Oh, no
shit.
And,
like, made sure Coke was in all their movies. But now they're not owned by Coke anymore. And they got Pepsi as a sponsor for this movie.
Ultimate. Wait for Royal Crown to make a big splash in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Like, who's it for? It's really just for people that drink Coke that want to switch to Pepsi. That's it.
The best thing about Pepsi is that they make Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that is correct. In fact, they should just rebrand. It should be all Mountain Dew.
I found out that Bottle Blast tastes like tequila.
It tastes like margarita. Baja Blast tastes like margaritas. Yes, that's why it's so good. It's margarita soda.
So
it's the best soda ever made.
I gave it a 3. Sean?
It's a 1 because there was one joke I did kind of laugh at where they're at that horrible bridal shower. And it's like, well, what about your mom's? Like, huh? My mom's dead. Like a dead mom.
Yeah, not that was bad, pretty funny.
Like, that was okay.
Wow. Actually, yeah, that was. Yeah, a lot of women die during childbirth. At a baby shower.
Like, that was fine. But, like, again, we're beating it. Like, there's no audience for it. Like, she's not old enough to be this grizzled, or, like, I don't buy her as grizzled because she's too, like, cute. You know what I mean? Everybody seems like they're the same age. I don't know what the villain's doing besides, like, buying the NSA or something. Like, I thought this was going to turn into, like, an enemy of the state kind of thing for a second, but that would actually require something. It's fucking Morbius, and it's also kind of Venom. But Venom's fun. And I didn't enjoy this at all. It is like nigh unwatchable.
There is nothing fun about this. Even Morbius had like its moments that were at least funny because it's so stupid. This has like no action at all.
Morbius had memes that were funny, but we watched that movie and it was not funny.
Yeah, true. It's
have sex.
Oh yeah, see that was funny. The dance, the Doctor Who dance.
Oh yeah, have sex.
Poop
your pants again. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm kind of over it with movies at this point. Like,
fuck movies.
Goggles.
Y'all are being far too fucking generous. This is a 0, and you all know it's a 0.
Don't just give it a 1.
This like, movie is tremendous. Do you know how zeros work? Sean gave it infinitely more numbers than I just gave it. This movie sucks shit. Cover to cover.
Did I send you that meme, Gogs?
Garbage.
Numbers when they're multiplied by 0 and then it just gets like blown away.
Yeah.
Yes, Anthony.
I want to take the opportunity to say this. It sucks where it fucks and it sucks.
This movie, you are correct. This movie sucks a pile of shit. This is terrible. Everyone in this movie should never work again. And that includes craft service.
Jail.
Like, this movie sucks.
Gogs is sending the caterers to jail. They had nothing to do with the production.
They fed these fuckers. Listen, this movie, somebody looked at the dailies of this because you know what? I love how little
Spider-Man. I know, they shot this in an afternoon.
Those are dailies. Like, it was just
this felt like a U-Bowl production. This felt like it was shot in like a long weekend. Like,
it was shot on Nokia Sidekick. It looks like garbage. Like, this movie sucks. There's nothing redeemable about it.
Put that on the box.
Should watch this movie. Sucks. like even the parts that are good are only good in service of how much they suck. Like, everything sucks in this movie. Like, I never want to see this movie again. I never want to hear about it.
I think Mike Epps got in a car accident for real just to get out of the movie.
You know what? Yeah, that's worth it, I guess. This sucks. Shit, TJ.
I mean, how do I follow up that? It's a one for me, dog. It's fucking awful. I got some cheap laughs from, again, the incompetence of the film. Like, I don't know. I mean, I keep wondering where the bottom is for these major studio movies. Like, this is released in theaters, and this looked like... Like, remember that movie we used as, like, the measuring stone for a while? That weird movie we watched, The Gods of Basement, was, like, Dark Territory, like...
Yeah, like, Agency of Vengeance,
Dark Territory. Like, it looked like that. Like, this looks like some random bullshit you'd see on, like, Sci-Fi Channel. This is a major motion picture. Like, that used to mean something,
TJ, right? What was that,
like,
Spider-Man fan movie that everybody fucking shit their pants and they hate
Spider-Man,
so much?
Spider-Man Lotus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where Spider-Man was, like, a white supremacist.
Can't tell me he's not.
He's never come out against it. He didn't condemn white supremacists.
Yeah, he didn't. Right?
Spider-Man is not a white supremacist?
That's Spider-Man is not a white supremacist.
Yeah, I think we can say that.
I can safely say that Peter Parker is not a white supremacist.
It was a guided tour of our nation's capital.
Oh,
sir.
You think
Spider-Man was there?
You think nerdy-ass Peter Parker wouldn't end up being an incel, like, if that story took place right now?
Oh, my God.
He does end up with Mary Jane, so.
Oh, eventually.
And Gwen Stacy, to be fair.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have made it that far. Like, Peter Parker, have to get through college.
Peter Parker is like George Costanza, where he's like, he's a nerd, but he's constantly getting hot shit.
No, what they need to do is just make a Spider-Man movie where he just turns into Elliot Rodger, like, at the end, and just spiders a bunch of broads to death.
Jesus Christ. Also, if the superhero who fucks is Daredevil, which we all appreciate. I do appreciate
that's,
in the
that's
show.
That's his main weakness is pussy. Yeah,
in the show, they also show that he fucks all the time, which I love that. But anyway, back to this horrible ass movie. I don't know, man. The fucking, like, indigenous spider people's costumes were fucking hilarious. Again, that guy that looked like System of a Down showing up in, like, his, like, sweater vest in the jungle for some reason was like, did they just forget to shoot his scene and didn't have his costume? And they're like, I don't know, just show up and whatever. Dakota Johnson's straight up just, she hated the material and just didn't give a fuck. Like, that was kind of hilarious. Like, the way that she... I mean, her line deliveries are something to be studied.
It's like, so funny. It's like they're almost like at the end of the movie, like, oh, yeah, she's supposed to be blind. It's like, oh, I don't know, just Jason Pierre-Paul her and get this shit over with.
Yeah, like, whatever. The fact that, again, just from conception alone, like, why did they make this movie? Like, the only time they advertised, you know, in the advertisements, you got to see all of the spider girls in their costumes. You're like, oh, cool, like. You know, I think I said this to Sean Analog, but, like, the reason that we like Spider-Man movies, and I you know, all, across all of the Spider-Man movies, Spider-Verse, the Raimi movies, the newer movies, the even the Garfield movies, they're action films, right? Like, at their core, like, Spider-Man's an action movie, and we like, you know, even in, like, the lamer Spider-Man movies, like, there's cool action scenes. Like, as much as we hated Amazing Spider-Man 2, like, there are action sequences in that
it
film.
It also has that great Dane DeHaan scene where it's like, what's this going to cost me, a boat?
But, like, this movie has no action, and we forgot to mention it, but there, in the beginning of this movie, there is the slowest, like, high-speed chase I've ever seen. Like, they're in this ambulance, and they're supposed to be, like just slamming through New York City or whatever. But it looks like they're going about 20 miles an hour. I've never seen a movie shoot a chase scene like this. It looks so weird and so flat. Like, Adam Scott is doing the, like, fucking Bela Lugosi from Ed Wood, where he's, like, he's trying to move, like, the van is moving. And it's just, oh, it's so bad. It's just, it's bad on every level, man. And, like, like Anthony said, like who, like I can't imagine who would sit down and enjoy this movie. Like there's nothing enjoyable about it. It's just terrible. So it's a one. Sony, I don't know what they're doing. Like it's like if there's some kind of like major league conspiracy where like the head of Sony is like, you have to lose this much money or like, I'll kill your kid.
Is it like that fucking Richard Pryor movie where like they have to spend so much money?
Oh, Brewster's by the Millions. Brewster's Millions. It's a good movie. Anyway, yeah, this movie fucking sucks. We're not in March anymore next week, are we?
No, it'll be in April.
No, we're in April.
So what's April's theme?
Planet of the Apes.
I don't know. Movie April.
Planet of the April.
Rapril?
Not all movies featured. Sean, you're hitting the misogyny button a little too hard today. Go ahead, Anthony.
Anthony, do you have an idea?
Please don't follow up with the Sean thing. Go ahead, though. No, it's too bad. He won't even say it. He's laughing too hard. Have an April?
What's eating Gilbert?
Why don't we do Caperl and just do all heist movies or something, like all Caperl heist movies
or superhero movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I think you should do heist roll.
What? Say that again?
Heist roll.
He said the heist.
Heist roll?
Yeah.
Height? That doesn't work. He said Caperl. Okay.
It's let him it's
Caperl.
His first day.
Like Caperl. Like a caper.
Let him cook. Do that.
Quack, quack, quack. It's my first day.
All right. So Caperl. It can either be a caper movie or a superhero movie. Because they have capes. Anybody have a pick based on that?
The Friends of Eddie Coyle.
Ooh. That's a good one.
That's
all right.
It's too good.
What do you say?
The Friends of Eddie Coyle. It's a 70s crime movie.
Now you guys you're just making stuff up now, just saying.
Well, it's either that or Sorcerer. I'm picking one of those two movies.
Oh, wait. Do we watch Thief on the show yet?
No, I would love to watch Thief. That's a good one. That'd be cool. Go ahead, that's Anthony. So, you don't get a pick, Anthony.
No, this is about Thief. I was watching this YouTube video on Quentin Tarantino. He's like, Michael Mann just had water trucks on set to soak down the streets in Thief. And he's like,
oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
That's it.
My pick is Thief, but we can watch obviously whatever people want to watch.
Friends of Eddie Coyle, Sean, you had the first pick. I don't,
this was my pick. So like, let Alec or TJ go. Cause I think I've suffered enough.
I don't have, you know what? I'll pick Thief, even though Gogs can pick Thief.
I'd like Gogs.
All right.
Or I can pick something else.
No, Gogs, pick Thief. I'll pick something else.
As long as nobody picks that fucking Edward Norton heist movie with Marlon Brando, because
isn't that the last Marlon Brando movie? What was that called? The Score?
Yeah, it's so bad.
Have we watched Hell or High Water on the show?
No, but that movie fucking rules.
That's a good one.
Then that's my pick. If TJ's picking a Thief, my pick's Hell or High Water.
I'll pick Thief. Yeah. Okay. All right. So next week, Thief. Anthony, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for coming by with your dipshit opinion, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, I got this is kind of like a dream come true. I'm here on the show. I
love. Oh, that's grim.
Yeah, it is. Kind of.
Never meet your heroes.
Has he met all of us? Love you too, buddy.
He met all of us.
Never at once. I know for a fact he's met TJ.
not all new right. Bisexual.
TJ, love you though. Too, buddy.
All right,
thank you for coming on.
Bye, boys.
All right, bye, everybody.
Good night, boys.